вечер. Вы и так видели, through the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. We thank you just for that story of God and richness that we have gathered here, that we have that desire in our souls to gather together in this way this afternoon. Lord, we are before thee and we would feel our dependence upon thee. We thank you, Father, for thy servant who has come so far to be here today. And Lord, we pray thy rich blessing upon it. Lord, wilt thou use them for the glory of thy Son. Grant, O Father, that this day we might know the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll be very conscious, O Father, we are led and guided by thee. And O Father, we earnestly ask thee that we might have receptive heart to receive the message, O Father, that thou would like to deliver to us through them. Mm-hmm. Oh, Father, we pray that thou will be pleased to grant each one of us by the receive a blessing. That thy servant, Father, might be blessed in their own souls as they seek to proclaim thy word from the platform this day. Mm-hmm. We earnestly thank thee, O Father, for all who are gathered here this day, all who come at distance, Lord, for those who have come from this area. Oh, Father, we pray that thou be pleased, Lord, to continue. Help us as we seek to continue in thy presence and pray for thee in his own precious name. Amen.
Truly, O God, the right to sing today a new song unto thyself. We once sang the songs of this world, and O God, this afternoon we praise thy name that the cause to sing such a song of gladness and joy and praise to thyself. I've lost what Jesus found me. Found the sheep that went astray, threw his loving arms around me, drew me back into the way. We give thee thanks, O God, one day we shall sing perfectly, in harmony, in unity, when around that rainbow circle throne we gaze upon our Lord and our God. Then indeed we shall praise him as we would. But now we thank thee too for the interest in our hearts to meet thus together this afternoon. Look into the sacred word of truth, the scriptures of truth, thy word. And we ask, O God, that thy spirit shall be free to help thy servants in such a way that they will speak that word which is needful. That word, O God, which shall help thy saints in the present circumstances. Give them, O God, to be led to indeed speak that which shall be a help to the assembly. And we ask, O God, it shall help us for days yet to come, as we face the unknown future. And yet we thank thee for the great fact, the Lord is coming, and coming very soon. Thus, our God, we leave ourselves in thy hands, that the Holy Spirit himself shall be absolutely free to lead and direct in this gathering. And that thy saints, O God, who have come from many places, with hearts waiting to hear thy voice, shall not be disappointed. That they shall receive that which shall be a help to them in their homes, in their work, in their lives, in their witness for God. Mm-hmm. We ask you, God, to help us then to have a real, happy, blessed time in thy presence today. We ask again for those who have been unable to get to this gathering, who would have longed to be here, perhaps they're laid aside by illness and other other reasons, O God, we commend them to thy love, that they too shall receive the blessing of God where they are. We ask this giving thanks in his worthy and precious name. Amen.
For just a few quiet moments when we can wait before thee in prayer, where thy servants would minister thy word. Now, O God, we do pray that in this indeed might be a time when all our hearts will be prepared to receive that which thou would say to us today. O God and Father, we thank thee for gathering such a company together. We thank thee, O God and Father, for favorable weather, under every favorable circumstance that enable us to gather in this way. We bless and praise thee, our God and Father, for the joy of meeting those of like mind, those that are redeemed by precious blood, heaven born and heaven bound. We thank thee, our God and Father, for such a company, saved by wondrous grace, and on our happy way to heaven. And we do pray, Father, at the very outset of these conference meetings, that it will please thee to draw near by the power of thy Spirit. And Lord, grant that each and all of us might receive a blessing as we thus wait before thee today. O God, thou knowest the several ways that we take. Thou knowest, our God, our individual lives and our individual circumstances. We believe, our God, that just as our faces differ today, so do our needs differ. But we bless thee, our God, out of thy fullness in Christ Jesus, and thou art able, and we believe willing and longing, to meet that every need. O Father, we do pray to the same, and thou wilt be pleased to take up thy dear servant, and guide them, our God, to the right portion of thy word. We bless thee, our God and Father, for their presence here today. We bless thee, our God and Father, for the way that thou hast used in the years gone by, for preserving them, our God and Father, in body and mind and spirit, up to this moment of time. Gathering them here, our Father, and we do pray, Lord, that as we open thy word, they'll be laid of thyself, they'll be used of thyself, that they indeed might be thy mouthpiece, the channel through which thou can convey thy message to all our hearts today. Lord, we pray for a real sense of the power and liberty of thy Holy Spirit. And, O God, that our hearts might be so receptive, that, our Father, we might be enabled to take from thyself that which would come from thy word. Grant, Lord, that the outcome of this meetings, that each of us will be strengthened and built up in our most holy faith and laid on in a closer walk with thyself. Lord, draw near and lead and guide, and grant us thy blessing as we thus wait before thee, for we ask it with our thanksgiving in our Savior's holy name. Amen.
forgot to say what a joy it is, brethren and sisters, to be with you at the conference here in Skelloway. I can remember 3 years ago when I was here, and the joy it was to be with you on that occasion was wet. I asked this afternoon when I came in, how many speakers are there? And I was told that it depended on the first speaker, whether there would be two or three. Well, brethren who are exercised, I would advise two of them to have their guns charged, because there's going to be three speakers this afternoon, I hope. Now, I want you to turn with me, please, first of all, to the Song of Solomon and to chapter 2. Song of Solomon and chapter 2. To help you to follow, maybe a little bit more intelligently, the reading, I want to talk to you this afternoon a little on the subject of fruit bearing, or if you like, bearing fruit. I'll just pick out of these various portions that we read the verses immediately concerned with the thought before us just now. Chapter 2 and verse 1 of the Song of Songs. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Now chapter 4, please. Verse 12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates, with pleasant fruits, camphor with spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden, and eat his pleasant fruit. Now, the book of Galatians, please. Sorry, John's Gospel first, and then we'll read Galatians afterwards. John's Gospel, chapter 15. John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Now over to the book of Galatians, please, and to chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Daddy. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you will. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Then verse 19 to verse 21, the works of the flesh are mentioned. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now our final reading is in the book of Genesis and in chapter 49. The book of Genesis is chapter 49. Jacob has his sons around him.
Yeah.
And now he comes to Joseph in verse 22. Yeah. Genesis 49 and 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength. The arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. The Lord will bless to our hearts, we know, the reading of his precious word. Now I purpose finishing round about 4 o'clock, maybe a couple of minutes before that. I want to talk to you this afternoon, for the time that I have allotted myself, on the subject of fruit bearing. I believe, brethren and sisters, that this is God's great purpose for your life and mine, that we might bear fruit to his glory. That those words that we read in John chapter 15 might be true concerning us. That in our lives there might be fruit. There might be more fruit, and there might be much fruit. When we speak about fruit in this sense, I don't want you to think now of evident success in Christian living, although every one of us should expect that in our lives. You and I, beloved, should expect to see the Lord working through us. And if I am not reaching the lost, if I'm not being a blessing to God's people, then there is something wrong. But before me this afternoon, I would suggest that what I've just mentioned is the byproduct. Is the outcome, if you like, of bearing fruit. I believe that the exhortation would suggest to us the fruit of the Spirit, which should be an evidence in our lives. And as we seek to bear the fruit of the Spirit, as this is an evidence, then there will be that outward evidence of success. We will see the Lord's hand in blessing. We will see souls saved and the people of God blessed. Now please don't think that this is just for a special few. Every one of us in the company this afternoon, every one of us should see the Lord's hand in evident blessing. I believe before I can, in this life of mine, see the evidence. evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. I believe that first of all, I myself must be enjoying the fruits of Calvary. In the measure that I am enjoying the Lord myself, in that measure, beloved, I'm going to, unconscious to myself largely, I'm going to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And there is going to be evident fruit in this life of mine. It was with this in mind then that I read to you, first of all, from the Song of Songs and in chapter 2. If we had taken the time this afternoon to read in chapter 1, we would have read such a different picture. The bride in chapter 1, she had stopped following. She had stopped resting. She had stopped feeding. You remember in chapter 1, she says, "Draw me, we will run after thee." She had stopped following. There had been something come between her soul and her beloved one. There was a distance there. Then also she had stopped feeding. Because you remember, she said, "Thy love is better than wine." And again she wanted to know where he made his flocks to rest at noon. She had stopped resting as well. But I leave chapter 1 right there because it is only as a background to chapter 2 that I make reference to them. And now as we come to chapter 2, communion has been restored. The bride is again enjoying her beloved one. She is feeding on him. Yes, she's resting under his shadow. She's absolutely content. Brethren and sisters, today as we come to Calvary, oh, may the Lord grant that again we will get under the shadow of the cross. That again we will experience the fruit of Calvary sweet to our own souls. We will sit down and rest under his shadow with great delight, his fruit being sweet to our taste. I want you to notice what she was feeding on for a moment before we come to chapter 4. She says, "As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons." Here is one, and he stands out supreme above all others. If you like, he stands head and shoulders above them all. There's one that has enamored her heart, has satisfied the longings of her soul. And she says, just as the apple tree is among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. In Northern Ireland, where I was reared, it was very near one of the apple orchards of Ireland. Many a time as I went along the road, the apple trees growing on either side of the road, you could have learned a little of the truth of the Song of Songs, chapter 2. That apple tree, so distinct from all other trees of the garden, it was distinct, I would suggest to you, in three ways. First of all, there was in the springtime the beauty of the apple blossom. And with that beauty there came a peculiar, a knowing the beauty of the apple blossom and the sweetness of the perfume. Later on in the year there came the taste of the lovely apples. Sad to say, as we fellows, sometimes we didn't always get the apples honestly. We used to what we call fog the orchard. Oh yes, the apple trees, they were sweet. The apples were sweet to our taste. Beloved, as that apple tree among the trees of the garden, so is my beloved among the saints. First of all, thank God he's mine this afternoon. Is he yours? Is he? Is he your very own Savior? Can you say 10,000 charms around him shine, but best of all, I know he's mine? Then let me go a little bit further. If he is your beloved, are you enjoying him? Are you? I believe there's many a one and they're genuinely saved, but they're not enjoying their salvation. Oh, this would be a wonderful conference if you and I could fall freshly in love with our blessed Lord Jesus again. It would change our lives, and our souls would feed on him. There would be produced in these lives of ours, beloved, the fruit of the Spirit. The beauty of the apple blossom. Oh, I think of the beauty of the person of my beloved Lord as he draws this scene of time. I think of the perfume of that blessed name, Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, this afternoon, I think of the sweetness of the taste of the apple tree, the fruit of Calvary to my soul. Is it any wonder that we sing sometimes, satisfied with Thee, Lord Jesus, I am blessed. Peace that passeth understanding on thy breast. No more doubting, no more wondering. Oh, what rest. Is it any wonder that having tasted of the sweetness of the apple tree, if you want to make us miserable, make us drink of the world's fountain. There's no satisfaction, there's no joy there. Sitting under his shadow this afternoon, beloved, his fruit is sweet to my taste, the fruit of Calvary. Ephesians 1, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Beloved, isn't that some sweet fruit for you and I to enjoy today? That before Earth's foundations day, you and I don't know why, but you and I were chosen in Christ. Then away into the limitless eternal future, predestinated to dwell with him forever. And in between, blessed with all blessings in the heavenly places by Christ Jesus. We sit down today under his shadow, and I believe, beloved, our souls would revel in the sweetness of its fruit today. But we don't dwell here, because we come to chapter 4. In chapter 2, the bride is enjoying her beloved one. In chapter 4, the picture is completely changed. And the beloved one is enjoying his bride. It's not always nice to be on the receiving side. It's nice to be on the receiving side, but not always. Brethren and sisters, this afternoon, love so amazing, so divine. And I always change a word there as I sing that hymn. Shall have my heart, my life, my all. That is chapter 4. She said, let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. In chapter 2, she's enjoying his fruit, the fruit of Calvary. But now in chapter 4, she says, now let my Lord come into his garden and enjoy his fruit. Oh, brethren and sisters, this challenges my heart this afternoon. Of course, it wouldn't be much good me standing up if it didn't, would it? It challenges my heart this afternoon. Is the Lord enjoying this life of mine? Is there that which in this life of mine gives him joy and satisfaction? Can I open the very inwards of my being today and say, let my beloved, yes, I do love him. Let my beloved come into his garden and let him eat his pleasant fruits. I want you to notice that the garden was all his. It was a spring shut up. It was a fountain sealed. It was all his. There was no other had any right of access there. It was all her beloved one. And I could imagine with what tender care she would cultivate that garden. She would remove any weeds that might be unpleasant to his eye. Yes, it was for him and him alone. Those of you who were in Derby last evening, you will remember the tone of the meeting was consecration. It was handing over these lives of ours to him, and we are back again this afternoon at the same spot. Beloved, is this life of mine, is that life of yours, all for him? Or are there some weeds there? Are there some things in the garden that would not please his eye? Are there bitter fruits there in the garden? Let my beloved come into his garden and let him eat his pleasant fruit. The bride goes on to say, come thou north wind and blow thou south. For what purpose? Oh, that the fruits and the spices may send out their smell thereof. And you know, beloved, it does need sometimes the north wind. I want to bring this thought to you today. Am I prepared for adversity? So that the smell may rise to his nostril, the sweet smell of consecration, so that he might get that sweet aroma from this life of mine. I remember in the West Indies, we had a dear old sister there. She was stayed in the hospital. She had been in the hospital for over 50 years. She was in there as a girl of 17. Well, just through a moral living, her body was warped and twisted. The Lord saved her in the hospital as we were visiting around. And that lady, as we knew her affectionately as Mother Madge, my, the north winds blew. Her body wrecked with pain. And yet, there was from that bed a radiance, the low never been baptized, nor had she ever gathered to the Lord's name with his people in the hall. Yet every morning from 10 to 11:15, the screams were around her bed, and neither doctor nor nurses nor anyone else would ever go behind those screens. I don't know whether you would call it orthodox or scriptural or not, but with us, she remembered her Lord. The north wind had caused a fragrance there in that life. And I've often searched my heart and asked myself, I wonder, if the north wind blew, would it cause the sweet savour to arrive? Sometimes we need the north wind. I remember another West Indian reference, if you'll permit it. My mother, on one occasion, sent us out some of McGrady's roses, beautiful roses. I was thrilled to get them. We planted them, we tended them. We got beautiful blooms they were. But there was one thing was missing. There was no perfume. And I remember when I came home, I went to McGrady's and I asked to see the expert on roses. And I asked him, I said, now why? Why no perfume? And he looked and he smiled and my mind immediately went to the Song of Songs, chapter 4. He simply said, you've got no north wind. He said, it needs the north wind to bring out. Here was the bride. If it's necessary, let the north wind come and blow thou south, but I want the perfume to rise. I want there something in this garden of mine to bring him satisfaction. Chapter 2, she's enjoying him. Chapter 4, he is enjoying. If you take time to count the fruits and the spices in chapter 4, you will discover that there are 9 of them. And as we read in Galatians chapter 5, we read 9 fruits of the Spirit. They are called together the fruit of the Spirit. But there are 9 individual ones of them. And I want us very briefly and now, very quickly in the last 6 or 7 minutes of my message, I want us to look at these. And I want us, beloved, just to take them off, as it were, one by one. And ask ourselves, as my beloved comes into his garden, this life of mine, are the fruits there? Are the sweet spices there? Are they arising to his nostril as a sweet smelling savour? Are they? There are 9 of them. I would suggest that there are 3 that are inward. There are 3 that are outward. There are 3 that are Godward. Let's look at them very briefly. 3 that are inward. They are love, joy, peace. 3 that are inward. Love. I think, beloved, as we think of love, we must subdivide this, mustn't we? And of course, the fruit of the Spirit that pleases my Lord best is within the soul of mine a deep love for Christ. Thou knowest all things, Lord, but thou knowest that I truly love thee. Do you love the Lord, beloved? Do I? That inward fruit that I don't just display on the mountaintop of that which is deep settled in my soul. A love for Christ. And then again we would divide that love. Although in one sense our love when it comes to Christ is undivided, we know that. But there is also love to the saints. Do you love your brother and your sister? Do you? Every one of them? Are you beloved on happy fellowship, in happy fellowship with them? Can you honestly shake hands with them and say, God bless you? I believe, brethren and sisters, if the fruit of love was more in evidence one to another, there would be greater blessing and happiness in our own lives, and would be greater blessing in our assemblies. Oh, may the Lord give us an increasing love for our brethren and sisters in Christ. First of all, in assembly fellowship, that special life. But then our love should reach out to every born again believer. Don't give them the cold shoulder, beloved, because they don't gather to the Lord's name as we do. I'm not suggesting that you should go along with them. I'm not suggesting that you should compromise when the scriptures are concerned. But I do believe today, if we evidence more of a love for our brethren and sisters who are in the denominations, I believe very often we might win them. Win them for the Lord, for the Lordship of Christ, and win them to the assembly. And then, the love for lost souls. Love. And that brings with it joy. You know, I believe that joy and pleasure are altogether different things. And as I thought about this and prayed about it, I started to give it some serious consideration. And you know, you may be different. But I've never heard of ungodly people talking about joy. I've heard them talking about pleasure. I've heard them talking about enjoyment. But joy, what is joy? Oh, beloved, it's that something inside, isn't it? Something that's not dependent on outside circumstances at all. And I believe joy and peace are so closely linked together. Peace with God brings that joy that the world doesn't know. The world can't understand. And then there are three that are outward. They are long-suffering, they are gentleness, they are goodness. These are three that others would see. And I want to say just in passing, because I want to come for a minute to the last. Beloved, do others see in me long-suffering, gentleness, goodness? Are these in evidence in my life, in my home, first of all? Or do I fly off the handle at the least little thing? Certainly not a fruit of the Spirit to fly off the handle in love. Only the Lord help us to cultivate these. Love, joy, peace, the inward love. Long-suffering, goodness, gentleness. And then there are three that are Godward: faith, temperance, meekness. And somebody says, well, now, how are you going to get these fitted in Godward? It doesn't give me any trouble at all to have it. Faith, the Christ that died for me. Implicitly, I trust him to lead me through life, to guide me aright, and faith in him, I put my hand into his nail-scarred back. Faith in Christ. Initially, salvation. Necessary.
What is self-control?
It is controlling self so that God can control. You know, brethren and sisters, so often we have our lives so tied up and our arrangements so made that God can control. May the Lord give us the spirit of temperance, the fruit of the Spirit, so that He can not only lead, but that I'm open for His control. And then there is meekness. What is meekness? It's not weakness, certainly, but it's absolute submissiveness to the will of God for my life. Have you got that beloved? Are we prepared individually to say, as we sang last night as our dear brother Angus so forcibly impressed upon us, take my life from let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Absolute submissiveness to His will. My hand in that nail scarred path. Lead on, Lord. I'm prepared to follow. And then, of course, if these nine fruits are of evidence, the inward ones, the outward ones that God provides, then, beloved, most surely, outward fruit will be in evidence, and we will be like a Joseph, a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by the well, our branches going over the wall, others being blessed as a result of the fruit of the Spirit in this life of mine. May the Lord bless His word and what will follow for Christ's sake.
One verse in the chorus of 417, last verse. Perfect submission all to Christ. I, in my Saviour, am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, washed in His love. 417, that's the chorus.